Well, greetings, brethren, everyone around the world. We're so happy to have you worshiping with us today on the Sabbath. Well, we're in a season right now, early spring, or actually I should say mid-spring, just about going into summer. And there are certain biblical topics that we should discuss in the seasons God made in the year. Sometimes we use this term, meat in due season, to describe that. And we can see something about that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45. We're not going to turn to Matthew 24 or 45, just to say that that talks about a faithful servant who gives food or meat in due season. So we say this in the context of spiritual food for the church and for when we come together to worship God on the Sabbath day. So we're going to focus in on this season today of the time between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks. So we're going to focus on the events in Scripture that describe the resurrected Jesus Christ appearing to his followers, because the Bible tells us it took place in this season. And it's very appropriate that we read and are reminded of these scriptures. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, I'm going to read that to you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So if there was ever a purpose for the season, and that's the title of our message, a purpose for the season, we could focus in on the fact that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus Christ, appeared to his followers, and this was central to the gospel message that the apostles preached as they were sent out. But before, so we read Acts chapter 1, verse 3, which showed us, or gave us the season which Christ appeared to his disciples, or his followers, being seen of them 40 days after his passion. So that would have been after the crucifixion. Speaking to things pertaining to the kingdom of God in Acts chapter 1, and verse 3. So we are on the, we're discussing the season and the time when these things, these events took place. And there is a purpose in these appearances to the followers of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, where we're told this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So Peter tells us we've been begotten to a lively, or a very, very awesome, great hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's central to the gospel message that the apostles preached when they were sent out, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're also told to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away. So an eternal inheritance reserved in heaven for us. So right in this period of time between the days of unleavened bread and Pentecost, we're told Acts chapter 1, 40 days Christ appeared to his followers. And that's very important, and we should at this season right now between the days of unleavened bread and before the day of Pentecost, focus in on what's recorded and what Christ said to his followers and says to us in this season. So Peter tells us we are begotten to a lively hope by his resurrection. And we're going to read just in a few minutes, we'll read the verses which describe the resurrected Jesus Christ in being or appearing to his followers. Now let's turn over, before we start doing that and that purpose for the season, let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. We'll read a little bit more about why the resurrected Jesus Christ and these witnesses that were apostles was so important to the New Testament church, and by extension is important to us in this season and in these days between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks, or known as Pentecost in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So Paul, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians. He's saying, "I delivered," or "I preached to you, which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So Paul is also saying this was recorded or prophesied in the Old Testament of Christ to come and what he would accomplish for us. "And that he was seen," now this is verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, "and that he was seen of Cephas," and this would be another name for Peter, "then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but some are fallen asleep." So some had died at this point when Paul was writing the letter to the Corinthians. So 500 brethren were able to see the resurrected Jesus Christ. Now, I think, as far as I know, this is the only place we're told in the New Testament that Christ was seen by 500 brethren. And this is what Paul is telling the Corinthian church. Now, in verse 7, it says, "And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." So Paul is referring, and I'm not reading the entire verses. I'm not reading all of 1 Corinthians 15. But you'll see he explains to the Corinthians how he persecuted the church of God and how he was an enemy of the church of God before he was called to be an apostle. So that's kind of a reference to that. He's saying, "I was kind of an aborted baby, if you will, and when he saw Jesus Christ." So he saw the resurrected Jesus Christ as well. So important. Paul delivered what he received from Jesus Christ. He knew and taught the Corinthians that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again after 3 days and three nights. And how that Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ, was seen of Peter and of the 12. And we're going to read more of that in just a few minutes. Now I also wanted to go down to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12. So we're on verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, let's read this, and I think you'll understand why I'm reading it. "Now, if Christ be preached," so what were the apostles doing after they witnessed the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he had appeared to them in between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost? They went out and witnessed and preached that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Why is that important? Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain." So the apostles, all the work that they did, all the recordings, all the writings, all the trips, all the beatings and things that they suffered would have been in vain without the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And if Christ be not risen, this is verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is in vain. So the whole point that we're here on the Sabbath day as part of the New Testament church, our faith is in vain if this didn't take place, if the apostles did not witness and see the resurrected Jesus Christ in between the days of unleavened bread and Pentecost. It's very, very important, these events that we're going to read with respect to the New Testament church. Paul is telling the Corinthians right here in 1 Corinthians 15, the 15th chapter of his letter to the Corinthians. Commonly we call it the resurrection chapter, and if you read it further, we're not going to go that far. You'll see why. So their preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. Our whole purpose for being here is in vain if this didn't happen. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. So they were witnesses, right? That was part of their job, is to witness and preach this out, to get this message out. So they're found false witnesses, because this is, what is it? It's a very central piece to the gospel that they preached as they were sent out. So if God, this is verse 15, we're kind of breaking in the middle of the verse here. If God, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Our faith is in vain. And you are yet in your sins. So it's very, very important that Christ was raised from the dead. Otherwise, Paul is saying we are yet in our sins. We don't have forgiveness for our sins from God. Then they also, which are fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. We have dead loved ones. I think many of us do. As you get older, as you live more, you have certain family members that die. Your parents die, your grandparents die, whatever it might be. So you have those who are fallen asleep that are dead and in Christ are perished. So those that we have loved, part of our family that have died, then they're dead too. They're perished forever. Now this is very important as well. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, so if this is all there is what he's saying, if it's only just this physical life, if it's only what we see right now, only what we possess, we are all men most miserable. It's a very, very miserable existence is what Paul is saying. If it's not the case that Christ was raised from the dead and we also likewise, where we're told in other places, are going to be raised from the dead, and those that are fallen asleep in Christ that have perished already are going to also be resurrected. This is very, very important for the New Testament church, and it's important that we remember and that we understand and are reminded of these things in between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, as it's called in the New Testament. So we'd be of all men most miserable if this is the only thing there is. If there's not a spirit realm, if there's not the resurrection of the dead. So the gospel message and our participation and our worshiping of God on the Sabbath day, this is a very, very big pillar of why we come to worship on the Sabbath day and why we keep the Feast of Weeks, why we observe the Days of Unleavened Bread. All the entire message of the gospel, this is very, very important that we remember, we're reminded. And this is most definitely meat in due season for this period. That's why I said a purpose for the season, or the title of the message is a purpose for the season. So let's, for some context here before we go too much further, let's just lay out the events in order that took place before Christ was resurrected, just to give us, fill in some details, and then we're going to read detailed scriptures about each of the appearances of Christ to his followers. So we're going to be going back 2,000 years to the season, to the actual time between the Days of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, which is described in much detail in Acts chapter 2. So event number one, Christ is betrayed by Judas after the Passover meal. So he had a Passover meal, the Old Testament Passover meal, with his disciples. Judas was also there. Later on in the night, Judas betrays Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Matthew 26 and verse 49. The next event, Christ is put on trial and condemned to death. This is, we can see the end, or really where the final verse where Christ is condemned, is in Matthew 27 and in verse 26. Event number three, Christ is crucified and buried just before the beginning of the High Holy Day, on the beginning of the 15th day of the first month. And that would have been the first day of Unleavened Bread. So you can read about that in Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 through 61. Event number four, Christ is in the grave for 3 days and three nights, being resurrected at the end of the Sabbath day. We would call it Saturday night, roughly around twilight. So if you look at the chronology, and that's not the point of our message today, you'll find out Christ was crucified or died on a Wednesday afternoon, was put in the grave, and then rose at the end of the Sabbath day. And you can read about that in the Gospels, right at the end there, where you see where Christ is resurrected. And we're going to read just maybe a little bit. I don't remember if I included those scriptures in John 20. We're going to be reading John 20. So Christ is in the grave. This is the fourth event. We're just kind of putting in these events in order. Christ is in the grave for 3 days and three nights, being resurrected at the end of the Sabbath day. So this would have been at the end of the Sabbath at sundown, roughly. Not resurrected on Sunday morning at the rising of the sun, I should say. Now, event number five is Christ appears to his followers, giving them instructions. So let's read the first appearance, or the first person who actually sees Jesus Christ, the resurrected Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and we're going to begin reading in verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. So if we read John 20, which we're not going to do, but if we read John 20 earlier on in the chapter, we'll see that John and Peter did come to the tomb and see that it was empty. But it's not recorded in John that they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. They went back home. We're breaking into the story in John chapter 20, verse 11, where Mary is still there, even after John and Peter left. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. Why is she weeping? She knows that Jesus Christ was crucified. And if you listen to, I think it was Behold, the title of the message was Behold, Look and See. It talked about what Christ went through in the crucifixion. And I think all of us would be weeping if we had a close person that we spent a lot of time with and loved dearly, watched them, or knew that they went through such a horrible experience. So Mary was stood out without the sepulcher. She knew where he was buried. And that's also mentioned in the Gospels, that Mary Magdalene saw where he was laid by Joseph of Arimathea. Now, adding some things to this story, and I'm not giving some, but you can find that in the New Testament. So she's weeping. She's still there. She's still very, very emotionally troubled and upset. And as she wept, this is verse 18 of John, or verse 11, I'm sorry, of John chapter 20. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. So that tells us something, right? She had to stoop down to look into the sepulcher. And sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. So where Joseph of Arimathea had wrapped his body in a clean linen cloth and laid the body, it says, in his own tomb, this is where Mary Magdalene is and looking. She sees two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now there could be reasons why she didn't recognize Jesus. Remember, he had suffered such a horrible beating. His face was disfigured in so many ways. It's possible that she didn't recognize him. We know this was dark. It was a period where there wasn't light. So it's possible that she just didn't recognize him. There was not enough light for her to recognize who it was. All right, so she sees Jesus standing in verse 14. Verse 15, Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And he knew, obviously, who she was seeking. She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, she thought, well, maybe the gardener took the body and put it somewhere else. Because the stone was rolled away. That's another detail I didn't read. But that's included in some of the other Gospels. If you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. So there was an emphasis or a way that he said her name that she recognized. Mary. And she turned herself unto him and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. So Mary was prevented from touching him. Christ told her not to touch him. Now that was very important. And we're not going to read the scriptures, I'm going to refer to them. But let's finish up in verse 18 of John chapter 20. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now in other places in the Gospels, we see that the disciples didn't necessarily believe her and thought maybe that she was having some problems, because if you recall, Mary Magdalene had many demons cast out of her. So in today's world, we would think of that person as an insane person, seeing things, saying things that aren't real. So it's quite possible the disciples had this. I mean, it is recorded. It's not recorded here in the book of John. At least that's not what John says. I think in another place it says these seemed to be as idle words to them. And they just, you know, they kind of disregarded what she said. Now, with respect to Mary Magdalene not touching Jesus Christ, let's talk about that for a moment. In Leviticus 23, in verses 9 through 11, we see the description of what was known as the wave sheaf offering. This occurred on the Sabbath, after the Sabbath, on the days of unleavened bread, would have been what we would call a Sunday, and it represented Jesus, the resurrected Jesus Christ. So what it represented, the resurrected Jesus Christ being presented before the Father. So when he tells Mary here in John chapter 20, touch me not, he's saying, look, I have yet to go be presented before my Father as the wave sheaf offering. That's described in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 through 11 in the Old Testament. Also in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 28, we see a more detailed description of this by the Apostle Paul, which tells us that he went into the holy place with his own blood. So he was going up to present himself before God the Father and his sacrifice for us. In Hebrews 9, verses 12 through 28, and I don't remember exactly what verse that is, says that he obtained eternal redemption for us. So he tells Mary Magdalene, please don't touch me. I have yet to do that. That's a very important thing that I have to do and go and be presented before my Father as the wave sheaf offering. Now let's move on to event number two, or appearance number two. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. So it says, then the same day at evening, and this would have been the same day that Mary Magdalene saw him, being the first day of the week, so this would have been a Sunday, all right, first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. They were assembled for fear of the Jews. Why would you be afraid? Well, because they just killed Jesus Christ and you were his disciples and followed him. You were known followers of a man who had been executed by the Roman state under the direction of the Jewish authorities. So they were assembled. They were keeping a low profile, as we'd say today. Assembled for the fear of the Jews. And then came Jesus and stood in the midst. We don't know how this happened. All we know is that Jesus Christ all of a sudden was there and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Again, part of the witness that when the apostles went out and preached, and the writings that we are discussing and reading today, these are the eyewitness accounts of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Showed him his hands and his side. So his hands would have had nail holes in them. His side would have had a huge hole in it from where the spear was stuck into his side by the Roman soldier and pierced it. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. So he's telling the apostles, now that you've seen me resurrected, I send you. And when he had thus said this, he breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. So he tells them, receive the Holy Spirit, but we know that they didn't receive the full portion of the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost, because later he tells them, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Appearance number two. So appearance number one, resurrected Jesus Christ shows himself to Mary Magdalene, mentions a very important event, which is the wave sheaf offering, obtaining eternal redemption for mankind by going to God the Father, the throne, with his own blood, and attaining eternal redemption for us. Appearance number two, seeing the apostles seeing him and witnessing and seeing the holes in his body. And Christ saying, peace be unto them, but yet I have sent you as my Father sent me. Appearance number three, John chapter 24 and verse 29. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So he must have heard, the disciples may have given him more of a description and said, yeah, we saw the holes in his hand and the holes in his side. We saw him alive. So, and after 8 days, this is verse 26 of John chapter 24, again his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he, Thomas, then he said to Thomas, because he knew this, reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So who are they? Those are the ones that read the eyewitness accounts of the apostles, of seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ. In this period of time between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And yet they are blessed because they believe. And remember what we read in 1 Corinthians 15 about how important this is and central to the message of the gospel. And if without it we are of men most miserable, if this is the only thing there is this physical life. So let's go on now to appearance number four. John chapter 21, and we're going to skip some of the story in John chapter 21, just because I have limited time, and I could read all of that, but we could be like 2 or 3 hours into a message. So I'm not going to do all of that today. I'm not going to read the entire chapter of John chapter 21. I've decided only to read, we're just going to read verses 14 through 17 on John 21. So let's begin reading in John chapter 21, verses 14 through 17. This is now the third time that Jesus had showed himself to his disciples. So John tells us this was the third appearance. This, and we'll get into the story. After that, he was risen from the dead. So we have what? We have the first time Christ came to the apostles and showed himself alive, but Thomas wasn't there. The second time is when Thomas was there, and Christ then said, peace be unto you, and showed himself again. This is the third time that John is telling us. And remember, doesn't mean there were only three times that Christ appeared, because we read in 1 Corinthians 15 how he also showed himself to 500 of the brethren, or of the early New Testament church. So verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said unto them, feed my lambs. He said unto them again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He says unto them, yea, Lord, you know I love you. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto them, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So there was three specific times when Christ said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And each time he says, feed my sheep. So these are deeply connected for the Apostle Peter and for any apostle or servant of God, is to love Jesus Christ, knowing what Christ went through for all of these sheep. Including, we are part of the sheep as well, any of us. All of us are part of the sheep, I should say. And so, feed my sheep, love me, and feed my sheep. Remember, also the Apostle Peter had denied Jesus Christ three times. So this was a very painful thing. Remember, Peter was grieved. He was grieved with the resurrected Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. You have this, you're looking at the resurrected Jesus Christ, and he's saying this to you three times. So the apostles were told, feed my sheep. Love me, love Jesus Christ, love what he went through as far as what he was willing to go through for the sheep, for all of us. Now, appearance number five. Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 through 11 we're going to read. After being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not... Okay, so we're kind of breaking in the story in Acts chapter 1. It's after being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which says he, you have heard of me. So there was a promise given by the Father, which would be fulfilled on the Feast of Weeks, that day of Pentecost, which is described in Acts chapter 2. So wait at Jerusalem, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? So this was a very important consideration, because that what at that point in time, Israel was under the boot of the Roman occupation, and they understood or had read the prophecies that talked about Jesus Christ freeing Israel from the enemies and making it free again and bringing back all the captives and so forth. So they wanted to know, Christ, are you going to restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. So if it wasn't for the apostles and the disciples to know the times or the seasons, and it's probably not for us to know the times or seasons, maybe until right about the time they're actually happening or started happening. So he tells them, it's not for you to know how long a time that's going to be before I will restore the kingdom of Israel. But realize that the resurrected Jesus Christ will do that. Now that he's been resurrected, he will come back and restore the kingdom to Israel, the promises made in the Old Testament. So it's not for us to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. So God the Father has set the time when that will be fulfilled and take place. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So they were to be witnesses. They realized, they recognized, I should say, they had experience with the resurrected Jesus Christ. The writings that we have in the New Testament, the dedication of these men, the ability for them to endure all the things that they went through, they saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. I think all of the apostles, the ones who were sent out to preach this message, to show this message, had seen the resurrected Jesus Christ and were witnesses. That witness is what is the one of the reasons we're here today. It's the one of the reasons we have the written word of God in our hands. Now, and when he had spoken these things, while they had beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So they had seen the resurrected Jesus Christ. They had actually never saw him go up into heaven like we see here in Acts chapter 1. He just kind of appeared. All of a sudden, he was just there in the midst of them, like we read about in John chapter 20. He was taken up out of their sight. So he just kind of raised up and went through a cloud, and that was it. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So maybe it wouldn't be such a shock. It would be, yeah, I guess it would be a shock, but we have, in this modern age, we live in flying planes and helicopters, and we see things in the sky. This would have been quite a sight for these men to see. Jesus Christ is raising up off of the earth and a cloud just receiving him, and they couldn't see him anymore. So again, we have two angels, two men, by them in white apparel, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven as if it wasn't? It's not a big deal. This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." So we're getting a short view, if you will, what that's going to be like when Christ returns, when he comes back down from heaven. The angels are indicating that it's going to be very much like what the apostles saw here in Acts chapter 1. And again, they were to be witnesses of these things. And this witness is one of the reasons we are here every Sabbath day, and that the New Testament church and the Gentiles were called to righteousness and to forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. Now, I want to conclude the message with John chapter 20 and verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. Says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." So after he was resurrected, and some signs were done before he was resurrected, there were many, many other things that Christ did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the period of time between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Pentecost were a momentous time in the beginning of the New Testament church, with the appearance of the resurrected Jesus Christ to his followers, to his disciples, whom he sent out to communicate this message, by which message we are here today, and believing in faith and trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as those people did in ancient times in the New Testament church. And may we have that as a part of our faith and a focus on our faith, that the resurrected Jesus Christ did come and appear to his followers, and that we are also, if we are faithful to God, I will be part of that resurrection and will be with God and Jesus Christ, and that this physical life and all of the things that we have around it is not everything. There is a great, as we read at the very beginning, and maybe I'll go back and read that now that we're at the end. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. So let's meditate. Remember the resurrected Jesus Christ, what he commanded his followers, and let's have faith in the resurrected Jesus Christ and also in the resurrection of our dead loved ones, of ourselves, in the future, which is the great plan of God for all mankind. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you thanking you for your plan and eventual salvation be offered to all men, knowing that the New Testament church started and preached this message and yet preaches the message, and people come together on the Sabbath day and worship you, Father, understanding these great truths of your plan. So, Father, help us to remember it, rejoice in the days between the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Pentecost, and of course that as well. And please bless our faith and belief and hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and not to be focused so much on the physical things of this world, but to remember that great and precious promise that is reserved in heaven for us. So we ask your blessing on the remainder of the Sabbath day, on the food, the fellowship. Father, thank you so much for it. Pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.